Sunday the 4th of August 2019, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, All at Sea. Sermon title, Refreshing. Bible reading, Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 to 12, taught by Reverend Martin Court.
The reading this morning is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, starting to read at verse 1. The river from the temple. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me round the outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000. But now it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish, because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore, from En Gedi to En Eglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will hear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. Well, let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, through this word, we pray that you would remind us that in our weakness, you are strong. May we turn our lives to that strength, we pray. Amen. "I can't believe it," said the American tourist as she walked along Southend Pier. "I've been here an entire week and it's done nothing but rain. When do you have a summer here?" "Well," said the local, "that's hard to say. Last year, I think it was on a Wednesday." The jokes haven't improved, I'm afraid, just because I've been away. We're so polite, aren't we? The great British summer, we're desperate for sunshine, and yet the grey clouds gather, it chucks it down, and you know what we say? "Well, it's good for the garden." Well, stuff the garden. We want sunshine, don't we? Because life is much better in the sun, and it's holiday season too. Time off work, time to get away if you can. I've been away for 4 months now. I was only supposed to be away for 3 months, but the SOT gave me an extra month, bless them. And many of you think that for me it's been one long holiday. And if it wasn't that our sermons are recorded and the bishop can listen to this very talk, I might agree with you. But I'm not going to agree with you. I've been working really hard. And why do vicars get sabbaticals anyway? Because we get dry. We get worn down. Think of our building project. If you're fed up with it, think how I'm feeling. But we've got to keep on pushing. And you can't push if you're worn out. You need refreshing. And actually, all of us need refreshing. I could get my hanky out and tell you how hard my life is, but each of you could get your hankies out too and tell me how hard your life is, because we all of us live in a fallen world. And that means that there are some great times, there are some highs, there are some joys. But it also means there's valleys, there's hard times. Whatever you do, wherever you are, that's why we have holidays, to help us to cope. And of course, the inventor of holidays is God. Busy, busy, busy for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. And then in Genesis chapter 2, it says this, "Then God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy for you and for me," not for him, "for us." Why? Because we're made in his image and we need rest and refreshment just like he needed rest and refreshment. But it's deeper than having just one day off a week or even a holiday every now and again. God wants us to have sustainable patterns for living. A way of life that gives us constant refreshment so that work never gets too much for us. So when the kids get naughty, they don't push us over the threshold of our patience. Ways of living that allow us to cope whether we're sick or tired or just plain grumpy. And God's desire for that in your life and in my life gets repeated throughout Scripture. Of course, the best known of it is Jesus saying that he's going to well up inside us as a stream of ever-living water. Constant, unending refreshment for you and for me. But alongside that Scripture comes this wonderful picture of this river flowing in Ezekiel from the temple. And it's a beautiful picture, isn't it? The angel taking Ezekiel by the hand and leading him into this water. That's a picture of how God leads you and I, I think. Deeper into the kingdom of God. Four things today. I'm back off sabbatical, full and fresh and ready to go. None of this three-point nonsense that we have in the Church of England. 4 points is the new 3 points. So simply today, 4 points. And the first is this. The water is ankle deep. Ankle deep. Who's scared of ankle deep water? None of us, are we? It's children's stuff, isn't it? Childlike. We play in ankle deep water. I was not brought up in London. I know many of you born and bred in London. I was born and bred by the sea. Exeter, we used to go down Dawlish Warren all the time. And I don't know what you picture when you think of ankle deep water. I picture mums and nans hitching up their skirts into their knickers. I picture granddads rolling up their trousers with a hanky on their head. And I picture the kids on the old tractor inner tubes. That's what we used to use. My uncle used to get these big tractor inner tubes and we'd blow them up and we'd go and play in the waves in these rubber rings. Great fun. And it's childlike, isn't it? The angel of God taking Ezekiel by the hand, leading him into these experiences of God. I wonder if you've ever heard of the missionary John Hyde. This is a true story. John Hyde was a man who saw waves of the Holy Spirit healing thousands. But his journey into God really began with some ankle-deep kids stuff, a letter that somebody was given. He was going to go on a missionary trip over to India. And the church gathered, as churches do, and they prayed for him. And then there's two little old ladies had written him a letter. And I think sometimes we miss the faith and the dedication of our elderly folk. And I think we need to pay more attention to them sometimes. They gave him this letter and they said, "Don't open it until you're out at sea." And being a good Christian, he didn't open it until he got out at sea the next day when the boat is crashing through the waves. And these two little old wise disciples of Christ had written this, "Dear John, we think that it's great that you've given your life to the work of the Lord." He'd been working in the church for years. "We think that it's great that you've given your life to the work of the Lord, but we are praying that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have a great trip." He was offended. He was angry. What on earth did they mean? That they hoped that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's a missionary. He's been working in the church year in, year out. "What more can I give, Lord?" How easy is it for us to ask that question? "What more can I give, Lord?" And in his anger, John crunched up the letter, threw it in his bin, and he went out on deck to get away from that prayer. But you remember Psalm 46 and verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." It's only when we're lying in the bath or when we're out for a walk, or in John's case, when we're holding on to the railings of a ship, looking out to sea, there comes the still, small voice of God. And by the grace of God, and I mean that, by the grace of God, he asked himself, if I'm so filled with the Holy Spirit, what on earth sort of reaction was that? And so he humbled himself and he went back down into his cabin and he got that letter out the bin. And he read it every day. And every day as he was reading it, he prayed that God would fill him with the Holy Spirit. And the story is that by the end of the trip, he was a changed man. Ankle-deep water, a letter, a book you're reading, word for the day, a prompting from God. Time when that still small voice can break in and guide us. A time when the anger and the pride and the needs of our diaries just get blown away. And God reaches out and takes us by the hand and leads us to where he knows we need to be walking. But of course, they keep walking, knee-deep water. When we're knee-deep, we're paddling, but we're not yet swimming. We're wading. Wading is awkward. It's challenging. Journeying with God can be like that. If you want gentle, smooth water, then Christianity's not for you, because God splashes every now and again. He asks us to put a bit of effort in. Maybe step out in faith. It's a bit harder. Trusting, making headway. Often it's against the tides of this life. It's against the ways of the world, because God, of course, is against the ways of the world. This is when God says, if you really believe it, then you must start to live it. Not easy in a secular world, but here's the thing. Fish grow strong in rivers that they live in that flow quickly because they're swimming against the tide and it strengthens them. This is crunch time, knee deep, when you get your knee up to your knees in the water, because even if you've been rolling up your trousers or hitched your skirt up, this is the point when you're going to get wet. The waves will splash up because that's what waves do. Questions are going to come to you. How can I speak to someone that I can't even see, even if they call him God? Why do I need forgiveness? The life I live is really good, isn't it? If God is love, why did my wife die? You know the questions as well as I know the questions, splashes that come. But through it all, God is asking, I think, a single question: will you trust me even if you don't understand? And it's a serious question. It's just kids' stuff to you. He's asking, is this just ankle-deep water, coming to church when it suits you, never joining in with anything Monday to Saturday, giving what's left, not what's right? It's more than that. God says there's more than that for you. And he leads us out to knee-deep water. Every disciple gets led to there. But it's only a stepping stone. I mean, it's real questions. You'll be asked things that make you stop and think. Time to choose whether you're going to be in or whether you're going to be out. Because God wants to know. But if you stick with it long enough, if you choose God, you'll soon hit waist-deep water. And I have to be careful here because I'm a vicar in the Church of England. But think what happens as you stroll out at Southend, the icy waters of the English Channel. They've risen above your knees, and then you see it coming towards you, that wave, and you know where it's going to hit you. Above your knee and below your waist, you know where I mean. And there's nothing you can do. Well, you could turn and run, or do you stand and face it? We've all felt it. No going back now. No half measures. Do you brave it? This is a strange place on the Christian journey. We weigh less now. We are being partly supported by the water, so we can start to take steps that we would never have taken before. Maybe we place a hand on someone's shoulder and pray for healing. Maybe we just take someone aside, text them, praying for you at work this week. This is where we definitely feel, and I mean that, we definitely feel that God is with us tangibly. We know he's there, and our faith grows. We begin to trust the water more. We kind of bounce along rather than step. We begin to look like Neil Armstrong walking on the moon. We begin to believe that we can actually, this water may be able to hold us up completely. We start to dream a bit bigger. What might be achieved? Our leadership team are forever asking that question. What might be achieved now that we know that God is really there? But in our individual lives, it's here where we begin to connect our lives with God in meaningful ways. We start to journey with him daily in our marriages, in our workplaces, when we're raising our children. We're not there yet fully. Think of the seaside. This is where children take their feet off the seabed to see what happens. And when they sink, they put their feet back down, don't they? We still rely on the world a little too much. We live in our own strength a little too often. But do you know what you do here when you're waist deep? You learn to swim. This is where you learn to swim. Slowly, slowly, we get happier to take our feet off the seabed and let the water hold us up. And the angel leads us deeper. Verse 5, he measured off another 1,000 cubits, but now it's a river and I cannot cross it because the water has risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one can cross. Now we're fully submerged. The water taking our full weight. Sometimes the river flows so fast that you just get carried along. I've known those times. The Holy Spirit takes me and I have no control. I'm doing an all-age service today. I really don't like doing all-age services, talks down at the school. And I used to sit and say, God, I've got nothing to bring to this. People think that I'm creative. I'm not creative. I'm prayerful. I say, God, I've got nothing to give these kids. 200 kids in St. Edward's. If you don't give me anything, they get nothing. And he just gives it to me. I have no control. Of course, it's a partnership. This is where God wants us to be because he knows that it's the best place for us. This is where he will step out for you in whatever your scenario is. And there are different rules applying here in your life. Of course there are different rules in water, aren't there, at sea? You can't live by the rules of the land. Neither can you with God. And sometimes we don't even care if it feels out of control because we know that it never is out of control. Everything we have, everything we are is surrendered to God, and that sounds strange to people who have only ever walked on the land. And yet it's the greatest feeling you will ever have if only you were to do it. But why has God taken so much trouble to get us to this floating point? And here's the good news of Jesus Christ. Then he led me back to the bank of the river, and when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river, swarms of living creatures wherever the river flowed, fruit trees of all kinds growing on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. God longs for you to step into his refreshing river. He longs for his angels to lead you deeper every day into the waters of his Holy Spirit, because they're waters that flow through the parched lands of your life to bring new life, to bring refreshment and fruit. Folks, it's holiday time, and I hope and pray that you have some time to rest and chill and do all those things that you normally can't do. But I urge you, do it with God. Do it with God. Jesus wants to well up in your life as an ever-living stream of water. God has given you this picture of his river flowing from his holy temple, bringing new life and healing wherever it's allowed to flow, because it's true. And he wants to give it to you, and he wants you to believe in it, and he wants you to live it. We love to stay ankle deep. Now, maybe at a push we'll go knee deep. But the real blessings come when we give our full lives into the hands of God and say, Lord, we will trust you. I hope the sun shines across this August time. I hope you have a great time. But I hope you know God leading you and supporting your life, answering your prayers, and guiding you forward too. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, it's almost amazing and unbelievable, and yet as we move from knee-deep to waist-deep water, we begin to see that it's true. You really are a living God. You provide whatever it is that we need to be provided. You forgive us our sins. You lift us up when we don't deserve to be lifted. You place hope in our hearts. Hope that it goes beyond hospitals and bad bosses and all of those things. And you love us as if we're the only person ever to be created. Lord, we are so grateful, and yet so often we can forget these things so quickly. Would you bless us? Would you remind us again as you draw us to your table for communion, as we break the bread and and drink the wine. Remind us of your love, your great love for us. And may we rest in that love and live our lives in it. For your glory's sake, we pray. Amen.